Wünschst du dir jemanden, der dich versteht wie kein anderer? Jemand, der deine Wünsche wahr werden lässt und mit dir das schönste Abenteuer deines Lebens erleben möchte? Die Commerce-Plattform Shopify revolutioniert Millionen von Unternehmen weltweit. Mit Shopify richtest du im Nu deinen Online-Shop ein. Ganz ohne Programmier- oder Designkenntnisse. Dank der effizienten Einrichtung und intuitiven Social-Media- und Online-Marketplace-Integration kannst du über Instagram, eBay und Co. werben und verkaufen. Neue Zielgruppen zu erreichen war noch nie so einfach. Shopify bietet auf einer einzigen sicheren Plattform alle Tools, um dein Online-Business aufzubauen. Kostenlos testen und dein Business der Welt präsentieren. Shopify.de/try besuchen. Einfach Shopify.de/try eingeben und loslegen. Made for Germany. Powered by Shopify.
In Deutschland streamen jeden Tag Millionen von Menschen Musik, Podcasts und Online-Radio. Digital Audio ist mehr als nur ein Hintergrundgeräusch. Es ist ein wichtiger Bestandteil des täglichen Lebens. Und mit seinen präzisen Targeting-Möglichkeiten ist es eines der am schnellsten wachsenden Medien überhaupt. Erfahren Sie auf katzdigital.com, wie Digital Audio Ergebnisse liefert. Das ist katzdigital.com.
The Old Firm, one of the oldest and greatest breweries in the country, since its very first establishment. The Old Firm rapidly became a fruitful success and, in no time, pulled all the commoners and royalties across the land to its finest and luscious drinks. Indeed, it was the very foundation of the soon-growing beer industry and invigorated the soul-deep love for beer in the entire country. It would most certainly raise an eyebrow of concern to many if they found an unaccompanied 14-year-old child standing outside the Old Firm, or any brewery for that matter, under the torrent of merciless night rain. However, I had my reasons. I wasn't waiting in the storm for a brew, but rather, I was looking up to brew up a grand storm. A storm of unexpected twists and events that I solemnly regret to this day. I glanced at the clock tower a few dozen meters away in an attempt to tell the time. 10:45, the clock read. I let out a wobbled sigh and began slowly pacing up and down the cobbled path, unsure of whether my impatience was because of anticipation or apprehension. 2 days ago, I was offered a job by an emotionally torn man whom was desperate to, quote, get his business back on track. Considering how unfair and grueling life was for my single mother, who had to work 70 to 75 hours a week away from home and go several days without a proper meal just to make me sleep happy and healthy, I accepted it without a moment of hesitation. We both agreed that our rendezvous would be outside the Old Firm on Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Questionable timing for such a crucial appointment, but my zest far outweighed my intuition. I was refraining from telling her about the job offer and wished to give her a pleasant shock with my earnings. After all, humans love unexpected surprises. I assume you are Mr. Hank, yes? A tall, well-dressed, slightly wrinkled man towered beside me, blowing out a warm puff of smoke from his cigarette. He sported a black fedora covering his eyes, a pitch-black shirt and tie, and a long brown coat that extended all the way down to his upper shin. There was a particular energy about him that I can't quite put my finger on. If our meeting earlier didn't occur, I most certainly have yelled at the top of my lungs for help. Yes, Mr. Robinson, please, there's no need to address me with a formality, I replied, slightly lowering my head. I felt like interrogating him on the reason he arrived so late, but I didn't dare to do so, in fear of losing my job. He chuckled, took my cold, shivering hand, and shook it vigorously. I think I should, Mr. Hank. You're a lifesaver. Please, come inside and we'll talk about what you need to do. He reached into his coat pocket and brandished the key, on which I can swear I saw a few specks of blood on, and led me inside the legendary brewery. The inside of the brewery heavily contradicted its status and popularity. The wooden table and skinny chairs looked like they were able to collapse at any given moment. The walls were coated with moss and dust that hadn't been looked after by the staff. The floor sung an ugly choir of creaks that was so unsettling to hear. I shivered and grabbed my arms as Mr. Robinson guided me down a flight of stairs. We continued walking down into a secret chamber that was too dark to make out any detail. The air felt extremely tense and hostile, like I was being dragged down into the deepest depths of the underworld. I began to feel uneasy and desired to forfeit there and then. However, the thought of my mother going another night hungry actuated me to follow this man, regardless of my fears. It was only when we were met with a medium-sized, plastic-wrapped box did Mr. Robinson stop in his tracks. Without a whisper, he squatted down and attached a sticky note with some writing on the box. Mr. Robinson fumbled into his coat pocket again and brandished a hand-sized bottle containing a yellowish-blue liquid. He then picked up the box and placed it with the utmost care in my arms. His expression, once polite and positive, was now a complexion of earnestness instead. He spoke with a tone like no one would hear from reading a text or a script. "The deliverer shall fulfill his duty in delivering this box to no one else but the owner. Not a single word you shall utter to anyone during your journey, no matter who they may be. Upon meeting the owner, you must maintain eye contact with him, and you must be as polite as possible. Once he accepts his delivery and dismisses you, you must immediately turn and make your way back. You shall not look or try to know what occurs inside his house after the delivery is completed. This delivery must be completed before the hour hand strikes 12. The most important rule is to avoid conflict with the owner. Failure to comply with any of these laws will result in severe consequences." He took a deep breath, then pointed at the bottle atop the mysterious box. "In any case of the deliverer being in a pinch, he may drink this liquid to ease the situation. However, it is strongly advised to adhere to the rules in the first place to avoid this unfortunate scenario, no matter what happens."
But sir, I was under the impression that this was a regular job. This task is way too immense for a 14-year-old, don't you think?"
"I'm aware of that, Mr. Hanks, which is why I shall ascertain a grand sum of wealth for you, if you can accomplish this. Do you accept your duty or not?"
I gulped and looked at the package with mighty contemplation. This felt all too risky for me. Was Mr. Robinson just a crazed person looking for someone to run his errands? What was the reason I was required to strictly follow these ludicrous laws? A bottle for supposed protection? Blasphemy. My stomach growled softly. I was getting hungrier. I breathed again and glanced behind me. Ever since I was born, I was plagued with problems and difficult situations, all of which could have been sorted if we just had a bit more money. A grand sum of wealth would surely do much more than just that. "Let us get started, sir." Mr. Robinson's face abruptly lit up with a mixture of relief and joy, almost like he destroyed any remembrance of what he talked about anew. "Excellent. You know your way then. It's quite the distance, and there are no carriages lurking about at this time, so you must make haste, Mr. Hanks." I nodded and dashed up the stairs, two steps at a time, back to the surface, feeling very much like a new person. I looked at the sticky note attached to the box, trying to engrave the address in my mind. 23 Minnow Section, 2nd Street, door number 12. Getting there is unquestionably not a problem for me. I know my hometown better than one knows their kin. Under the poorly lit lights, I found myself rushing past the corridor of blurry houses, the regular pit pattern of my shoes colliding with a cobblestone street, breaking the deafening silence. My stomach was roaring now, and I slightly winced at the increasing agony. I heard some people yell, curse, and throw buckets of feces at me through their windows, assuming I was a thief. I most certainly didn't blame them. It's a pretty strange thing to see at this time. I had about 40 minutes remaining, but I didn't wish to spend a second longer in this nightmare task I was issued with. I was buried so deep in my ocean of thoughts and conspiracies that I didn't even notice how much I closed in on my destination. I could see it now. 23 Minnow Section, 2nd Street, door number 12. How do I describe it? In comparison to the rest of the town, it looked like that one friend that accompanies a group of friends all the time, but unambiguously doesn't fit in with a group. So near, yet so isolated. Large, yet desolate. There was something about this abode that didn't sit right with anyone who has been unlucky enough to come near it. Still, I moved forward. I had to do this. I couldn't say no. Soon enough, I advanced toward the door
and dazed at it in a bid to conceptualize who or what was waiting for me behind the door. I let out all my worries in a weary sigh and gently knocked on the door. The door marginally opened, and a middle-aged woman peeked out to greet me. I couldn't see much, but judging from the way she appeared before me, she must have woken up from slumber and was evidently unhappy at my interruption. Her eyes wandered down to what I possessed in my hands, then slowly back up to meet my gaze. We looked at each other for what felt like an eternity. At long last, she was the one to break the silence. "My husband isn't home, young man. I believe it would be sufficient if you leave it here for the time being." I continued staring at her, not daring to say a word. She cleared her throat and spoke in a slightly harsh tone this time. "Excuse me, he isn't home. He returns in 20 minutes' time, dear. You wouldn't want to stay out in this poor weather and possibly wait for him, would you?" I forced myself not to react to her words. That would unmistakably break the very first law Mr. Robinson told me to follow. Just how much time is this woman intending to eat up, I wondered. After an additional minute of blaring silence, she exhaled deeply and shook her head. "Let me fetch my husband. Won't take a minute." Shortly after, the woman reappeared on the doorstep with her husband. Except, he was nothing like I imagined him to be. No, he was far from the appropriate pronoun to call it. That thing was an absolute monstrosity. It was a behemoth in size and a freak of nature in body proportion. It had a dark, crimson-red complexion. The creature had two bony and slim arms and legs. Its mouth displayed a merciless, vicious row of teeth that appeared to decimate anything in existence into mere atoms. Perhaps its most frightening feature was its head. Its head was far larger than its body, which momentarily made me marvel at how it was still able to stand. The creature had five eyes, with one massive eye on its forehead. All of their gazes burning my skin right into my very fragile soul. It towered above me, without a word to say. My legs began shaking violently, and my conscious struggle of remaining on 2 feet commenced. I felt a break of cold sweat piling on my neck and back. It was an endeavor to sustain composure. "If I don't speak now, I won't speak again." I gulped and extended the package slowly to the beast. I broke a nervous smile and spoke up in the most positive manner I could deliver. "Good evening, sir. I've come to deliver your package." The creature tilted its head to the side and inquisitively looked at the package, unsure of whether to trust the new boy on the job or murder him on the spot. Just as I was beginning to question whether I got the correct address or not and prayed my silent prayers, the creature grinned from ear to ear and let out a giddy laugh. He handed the package to his wife to bring home and returned back to the abyss that was his abode. I took that as the approval message Mr. Robinson mentioned. "I'm glad you appreciate it. Good night, sir." With that said, I set off on my journey back home. I just about liberated a thankful chuckle under my breath. Fair to say, I was pretty amazed at just how easy things went. If only I hadn't celebrated so early. The woman accidentally let the package slip out of its grasp and it fell onto the floor. I must have heard something break in there, perhaps glass. The box looked to corrode slowly, but under the harsh rain, it was uneasy to tell. That got the beast's unwanted attention. The woman sunk to the floor and pleaded and cried for the beast to spare her life. To the beast, her life was in the least of its interests. Within seconds, it lunged toward her and crammed her inside its mouth in one go. Her pleated screams muffled by the horrifying, nauseating sound of sharp razors meeting flesh and bone. Blood splattered and painted the streams of rainwater between the cobble red. It roared indignantly, a shriek so fierce it made my eardrums bleed. This thing was beyond angry now. Before long, his attention was fixated on me now. I was no runner, but even with a few dozen meters head start, the creature caught up to me in mere seconds and pinned me to the floor with its misleading, abnormal arm strength. It rapidly clawed at my face and my neck, ripping off chunks of flesh and skin. I tried to wriggle and push the thing off of me, but my attempt was in vain. It wanted to kill me too. I saw it in its blood-lusted eyes. Effortless, it hoisted me up and welcomed me with its savage, brutal set of teeth. With my free hand, I grabbed the liquid in my right pocket and flicked it open. Instead of drinking it, I squirted it in the critter's mouth. The creature yelped and gagged in pain, letting me go. I fell down onto the floor and backed away from it immediately. It started screeching and screaming and shrieking whilst trying to choke out what I fed it. The liquid seemed to have inflamed it from inside out, and large pores emerged around its torso. A steady stream of blood, organs, and acid flowed out of its hideous body as it descended onto its knees. The creature shot me one last conquered stare as its eyes rolled to the back of its skull. I looked at the bottle in my hand with bewilderment. Ease the situation, according to Mr. Robinson, meant killing yourself to save the pain. Realizing the gravity of the state of affairs I was in, I silently cursed at Mr. Robinson. I made an effort to rise on my feet, but to no avail. I broke some ribs from the fall and fractured my right ankle. My right cheek was slashed and a few parts of my neck was missing. I was lying in a pool of water, mud, and blood. I was losing a lot of blood and needed urgent medical attention. My vision became obscure, and I felt myself breathing a lot slower. 10 weeks later, I was healthy and fit again. The hospital did quite a splendid job of fixing me up. They did surgery on my face and neck, as well as treated my ribs and fractured ankle. The doctor said I was blessed to be alive, and had they not arrived any sooner, I would have breathed my last that night. Nobody was able to find out the cause of the event, and it was eventually labeled as a mystery. The only person who was fully aware of what happened was my mother, who was on her way back home from work. She was the one who sought medical attention for me while I was half dead. A reprimanding is a little too light to describe her reaction, and she vowed that I won't be allowed to be seen out of her sight. I guess she won't be going anywhere too, as I found a huge lump of cash under my table with a bloodied note beside it. Superb work, Mr. Hanks. Outstanding. Not how I planned things to go, but nonetheless, you delivered just in time. Come meet me at the old firm. I have more packages for you to deliver. This is just the beginning. Yours sincerely, Mr. Robinson.